to see him standing in the line, just waiting for one moment or more of the precious Savior's time.
Take the prayer request if you'd like to, and then we'll ask Brother Gene Lehman to come pray over these. Please pray for Aubrey Fuller. She is 5 years old and going to have surgery to remove a tumor from behind her eye. Also, please pray for her parents through all of this. So let's remember that situation. Brother Daniel Barclay would like for us to remember a business associate, Ed Ritzko, still having balance problems. Doctors still haven't found the problem yet. So let's remember that. Please pray for my daughter, Michelle. She was rushed to the hospital this afternoon, hemorrhaging from a tumor in her uterus. Please pray the doctors be able to stop the bleeding, take out the tumor. That's from Sister Jan Hall. Remember that. Please pray for Sister Nola Babb. She has bronchitis and a cough. Just remember Nola. Sister Janet Payne asked us to pray for her and her family. Her Aunt Doris passed away in West Virginia. She's asking for comfort and traveling mercies. Remember that. Sister Patty from North Carolina, pray for a job that has came open in my company I am able to accept. There's higher wages, better schedule, but she wants the approval of God before a decision is made. So let's remember her. Many unspoken requests. Brother Fred Green turns that in. Special prayer request for the Mike Nelson family. And also, let's remember Ryan Kennedy and his class from college as they travel to Europe this Friday for a couple weeks. So let's remember those students while they're over there. Let's stand tonight, and Brother Gene, if you'll come and take these needs to the Lord.
Let's just bow our heads tonight. How many believe we're ready for a rapture? Heavenly Father, as we come before you tonight, we want to invite you into our presence. We want you to have the complete of all things, God, that is in this service tonight, God, that you might take control of our lives, that you might put us, Lord, into a situation, God, into a presence, God, where we know that, God, that you have come among us, Lord, and we know that we brought you with us, Lord, just little licks of fire tonight, God, and we pray, Father, tonight, God, that you'll open up the windows of heaven, God, and may you pour out of into us, God, the things that we need, Lord, where many of us have been sick in body. There's been many requests here, Father, that, Lord, it needs a special attention tonight, and only that can come by you, Father, only you. You're the healer, and already, God, we've already been healed. If we could just get our faith in a situation of where we need it, God, I know that we could just accept it and we'd be healed, Father. I just pray that you'll help our faith tonight. Open up our hearts, God. Open up that womb, God, that, Lord, that would help us tonight, God, that we'd be able to enter into you, God, that we'd be able to enter into your presence, Lord, knowing, God, that the nearer we come to you, we're just waiting, God, on a rapture, Father. We're waiting on a body. body change, God, and we expect that to happen, Lord. I know they, we've said, and Brother Donnie said it, Brother Paul was waiting on it, but God, we're waiting on it now, and here 2,000 years later, God, we're still watching for you and looking for you. We pray, God, that you'll take this service. May it be used for your glory tonight, God, and may you move, God. May the word of God tonight prick our hearts, God, and I know, God, that you're getting us ready, Lord. Every day, God, in every service that we come here, you're preparing us, God, for that shout and that great call, Father. And when it comes, Lord, we want to be able to hear, then our ears will be able to come into very the tone, God, that will be, that'll take us, Lord, in that rapture. We pray, Father, touch the, each heart that's here now, God. There's many requests, Lord. There's many needs here among the people right here, Father. Here and there, people's having problem with heart. People are having problem with everything, God. But Lord, you're still a healer. You're still on the throne, Father. And we just leave it all in your hands tonight. Take this service now into your hands, Father, we pray in Jesus' name.
You can be seated tonight. There was a request I missed over here to pray for Sister Rachel Estep. Both her knees have gotten real bad, having difficulty walking or sitting, so let's just remember that when you pray at home and the rest of this service. Let's sing that song we learned a couple weeks ago, He's More Wonderful. F.
And He's more wonderful than my mind can conceive. He's more wonderful than my heart can believe. He goes beyond my highest hopes and fondest dreams. He's everything that my soul. My mind can conceive, He's more wonderful than my heart can believe. He goes beyond my highest hopes and fondest dreams. He's everything my soul.
Last time, sing it with all your heart.
He's more wonderful than my mind can conceive. He's more wonderful than my heart can believe. He goes beyond my highest hopes and more than amazing, more than marvelous. How many times must I prove how much I love you? And how many ways must my love for you I show?
Song real quick because I forgot the offering. So we'll sing another one and then Brother Caleb will come be getting ready to sing for us. Let's sing Wasn't That Love. Well, in the town of Bethlehem, God came down to visit man. Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love?
Down. As I look back on this road I've traveled, I've seen so many times He's carried me through. And if there's one thing I've learned in my life, my Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything He has said He will do, and every morning His mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true. My heart rejoices when I read the promise. There is a place that I'm preparing for you, and I know someday I'll see face to face, 'cause my
My hope is in the Lord. That was a great job, Caleb. I always love it when he sings. He did a great job tonight. Let's stand as Brother Donnie gets ready to come. Let's just sing My Hope is in the Lord as Brother Donnie comes to bring glory to us tonight. And my hope is in the Lord. This time on and evermore.
this time on.
The Lord. I'm glad our hope is somewhere like that. I'd hate to think it's anywhere else, wouldn't you? Let's turn tonight, if you would, to the book of Matthew chapter 24. I'd like to begin reading verse 37 and read down through verses 44, if you wouldn't mind standing with me for that long. Matthew chapter 24, verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So life was carrying right on up to the very day. So they're just marrying, giving and marrying, eating, drinking, building, working, this, that, the other, going right on. This great message is there. This peculiar man building this peculiar looking boat. And they're going right on as if nothing has happened until the very day that the flood, the whole fountain of the deep breaks up and carries them all away. Now notice how Jesus goes that. Then shall two be in the field. The one shall be taken. And the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken and the other left. Watch, therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord. So here we're speaking to people who are calling him Lord. For ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this. That if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have not watched and not suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Let's bow our heads together. How many would like to be remembered tonight in prayer before the Lord? Lord Jesus, my hand goes up to Father. Lord, we thank you tonight for the precious promises given in your word. How we love you, Lord Jesus. We are so thankful as we just heard the song, Lord, our hope is in you. If it was in money or politics or just in religion, I cannot imagine where we would be in this day. Deceived off in some type of folly. But Lord, we are so grateful that our hope is in a person. And that person came to the earth to redeem us. Lord Jesus, thank you so much. Father, I pray that you'd speak to us tonight. Lord, these scriptures have been preached upon many, many years since you spoke them almost 2,000 years ago. But make them real and fresh to our hearts anew tonight, I pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. I'd like to speak to you tonight on watching for his coming. Watching for his coming. I'm sure you believe that there's a value to that, an importance to that. It's actually not just a value or an importance, it's a command. We are commanded by the Bible, we are commanded by the message to watch for the coming of the Lord Jesus, like we're commanded to pray. Like we're commanded to read the word. Like we're commanded to do other things that God tells us to do. It's actually a bidding of our master to watch for his coming. Now, when you think about the coming of the Lord and what it will involve, we know that the secret coming is the one that I'm referring to tonight. It will be the one which will be only the elect will know it. Only those that are ready will know it. The rest of the world know nothing about it until after it's done, transpired, and happened. And what many of them are looking for Jesus to step out and everybody see him, will not take place, of course, Revelation chapter 19. But this is the secret coming, and only those which are ready will actually be permitted or allowed to go go up into the air to meet him. Without that, you will never even know that it transpires. Now, whenever Jesus himself gives this teaching of his coming, his advent. Now, he's asked by the apostles because Jesus has spoken parables and said things about the coming. And then they said, well, Lord, when will these things be? Tell us, how is it going to be? So they asked Jesus separate questions. Jesus answered them in separate ways. Now, many theologians and people down through the ages have tried to tie it all together. But you have to go in the way that they ask it and the way that he answers it in order to make real scriptural sense out of it. Now, he will come as a thief in the night, but yet he will come when every eye will behold him, but those are not the same comings. Now, when he comes as a thief in the night, he sets forth parables in the New Testament about that thief coming. But he also sets forth parables and sayings about that coming when all the earth will mourn. All the earth, and they'll run and cry to the rocks and the mountains and hide on us. That's not the rapture. They will never even know when that coming takes place. So how will we know then? Not because we're humans. Not because we're living in the last day. Not even because we believe there is a coming of the Lord. Because you can believe in the coming of the Lord and miss the rapture. So how will we be included in that? It's only for the ecclesia, the elect of God. Now in that, it's always been that the elect of God have always been able to catch God and be able to see God in his advents or his comings when others could not. He would appear in a cloud. He would appear in a fire. He would appear in a bush. He would appear in a man. He would appear in a theophany. However ever he would appear, the elect would be able to pick it up. The others would look at it, never understand it at all, because it's of a different character than the way they are. But we know it's so important in how we look for him, because he will appear the second time without sin unto salvation for all of those that are watching for him. But if you're watching for him to appear like this and he would appear in this form, then you'd never know it, because you're so strict and dyed in the wool that it's this right here, then he could appear right before and say, oh, that ain't him. There ain't no way that's him, because I ain't looking for him that way. I don't believe it that way. And that's the way many of them will miss it, because that's the way they missed it the first time. They was looking for this, but he come like this. Wah, 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 little bitty baby. Now, they're looking for a great general, looking for a great Messiah to be able to be this and that and the other, because it was made up in their mind that way. And they totally missed him by the way he came. Now, what a warning, friends, that that ought to be to us, to know that if it happened that way in the first advent, that more than likely it will happen that way in the second. The first one wasn't even promised to be a secret, but this one is. So if the first one was so secretive that the theologians, the teachers, the great expositors of the Bible, if they missed it, how much more will it be missed in this day when it's promised that it will be such a secret that only the elect will ever even know when it happens. Now watch this in Revelation chapter 22 verse 20. He which testified these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come Lord Jesus. Now we know that the advent of the coming of the Lord has been believed and preached for 2,000 years ever since the angels stood there on the Mount of Ascension and said, the same Jesus that you see going away will come again in like manner. Down through the dark ages there was different things that was added to it and became a little bit dark and unclear of exactly how it would be. But after the Reformation, it began to get its balance again, and it began to look more clear at what the coming of the Lord would be. Of course, you know that the Catholic Church doesn't actually believe in the coming of the Lord Jesus since they are millennials. They do not think that there'll actually be an advent, but the church itself will be set upon the earth and it will be the kingdom. But for those who are Protestants, as we would call them, that really believe the teaching of the Bible, for 2,000 years, in one form or another, they have looked for the coming of the Lord. Now, whenever we come then to this age, then we embrace being the very age of the rapture or the advent or the coming of the age of his coming, then it was very clear up for many, many years until this age, until the prophet himself comes, and then after his coming, then Satan gets into it again and tries to warp the view of the people again about how he will appear. Because Satan knows the value of an understanding of the coming of the Lord. It's absolute necessary. It is an essential in order for you and I to know what to look for, or we will miss it. If we do not know what to look for, it could pass right before us and we'd never know it because we're not trained in the scripture to know what to look for. You understand what I'm saying? So you can see why then, why is it so important? I mean, what's such a big deal about the coming of the Lord? Why is it that Satan so wanted to mess it up again after the coming of the prophet? Why would it be an essential deal? You know, I mean, why it's not like baptism. It's not like women preachers, eternal hell. It's not like any of that. It's totally different than many of those things. So why would Satan even be concerning himself about trying to mess up the minds of many of the message people, you know, to put something in, well, this has got to happen first and that's got to happen or that's got to happen. And for those that aren't looking for certain things to happen, they get so drunk on the cares of this life, then the coming of the Lord does not become as it should be in their everyday life. Now you think then that the saints of God of every age, they died, the really elect, they went into the grave and entered into death, what we call death, under the same anticipation that the coming of the Lord Jesus was either imminent in their day or they would see it when it transpired. So they go to the grave, as we looked at last week, they go to the grave with this thought in their mind, they go to sleep and their bodies are asleep. Their souls now went into the sixth dimension. So when the resurrection actually comes and it begins wave after wave after wave, generation after generation after generation, they will awake with the freshness of that resurrection. They will not be surprised. They're not going to be looking for Muhammad and there's Jesus. They're not going to be looking for Hare Krishna and there's Jesus. They're not going to be looking for Jesus and there's Hare Krishna. Neither are they going to be looking for Jesus and there's Brother Branham sitting on the throne. Because if they believe that, they'll be in hell. Nobody that makes Brother Branham God will ever be in heaven. Because that's antichrist, it's damnable, it's heresy, and it needs to be preached against because it's blasphemous. Right. There's one God, and his name is not William Branham. That's right. It would surprise you to believe that some of the message folks believe that William Branham is God the Father, Joseph Branham is Jesus the Son, Isaac Branham is the Holy Ghost. You're talking about a bunch of nuts. People call us a cult. They're right when they talk about folks like that. The real bride ain't a cult. She is the Word. Amen. Now, think then that Brother Branham catching this thought and taking sides of Jesus, he said when St. Martin awakes in the resurrection, St. Paul, all the rest of them, they'll be just as fresh as if they was right in the battle, battling right away. Now, they will be as fresh in the resurrection as some that we just had their funeral last week. They'll be just as fresh as saints in this day because they went into this realm of sleep, their body now, into the realm of sleep with that anticipation, that hope, that great thing longing inside of their heart. And when they awake, it'll be just like a 15-minute nap. That's all it's going to be. So your mama, your daddy, your grandpa, Paul, Peter, James, John, all of those through the ages, millions and millions will awake, and this is how they will awake. They will awake with their freshness. Well, how can they awake with freshness and us be caught up alive and be stale? They went to the grave looking for it, looking for it, looking for it, looking for it, and we're not looking for it. We don't even care if it comes or not, and we're going to resurrect and we're going to be changed and meet them in the air at the same time, and they're going to be as fresh as I don't know what, and we're going to be, well, I wish I was down at Walmart. Mm-mm. We're going to have to be fresh too. Now, notice, because they went right down under those same anticipation. So anticipation for the coming of the Lord is one of the keys to being in the coming of the Lord. You see, it's not being just in the message. It's not just having long hair, sisters. It's not just having a long dress, because many of our sisters we know around the message have long hair and long dresses and a big long tongue to go with it. I mean, the brothers have got short hair and they don't wear necklaces and bracelets and they've got a long time to go with theirs too. So it's not just being in the message. It's not talking about Brother Branham. It's not, I believe serpent said, I believe this. That's not it. It's having the same anticipation that Paul had. It's having the same anticipation that Peter had, that James had, living every day of our life. Now, it's a paradox, really, because we plan as if though it will be 100 years from now, but live as if though this service might be the very last one you get to have. Right. Now, that's the way the real bride lives. Now, because they went down under those same anticipations looking for his coming. And there will come a scream, a scream. Up will come the whole church. Oh my. There will come a scream. and up will come the whole church. Now notice this in paragraph 32. Now we've got to be looking for him right now. Notice how he says it. We've got to be looking for him right now. Not if you want to, if you deem this necessary, y'all pray about it, let me know what you think. But he said, we've got to. We've got to be looking for him. Why? That puts us in the same frame of mind as the saints of God that have been buried and their bodies have gone back to ashes and gases and all that. Why? They was anticipating that coming of the Lord. And the living bride will be living every day of her life under what? Anticipation. Notice he said, we don't know. It could possibly be 100 years from now. It could be 500 years from now. 1,000 years. 10,000 years. I don't know. Nobody knows. But say, for instance, that we live each day that he was coming that day. Now what a strange, peculiar way to live. We want to plan as if though it might be 500 years, 1,000 years, 10,000 years, but live every day as if that day might be your last. And leave nothing for tomorrow to do. Well, I'll do it next week. I'll make this right and I'll do this. No, you better live every day as if though that day would be your very last. Now friends, think of it. Do we live that way? Do we live as if though every day, have you come to church tonight with this thought in your mind? This might be my last service. This might be the next time they roll me in Happy Valley, they may roll me up there in a box. I'm going to do everything I can. I'm going to put forth every effort that I've got because this might be the last time I ever come to the house of God alive. I believe we'd behave different if we did it this way. Now, notice when we awake, he said, if we sleep and we awake in the resurrection, it will be just as fresh as if we'd just fallen asleep and just woke up. Do you realize all the saints that have passed in my 20 years of tenor being here, over 20 years now, all of those that we buried around in Johnson City and over here in Kingsport and Church Hill and wherever more, those saints of God that had the Holy Ghost on their soul in that first resurrection, when they wake up, mine's been 20 years and many of you still miss them and you think about it, but in their body, when they get up in the resurrection, it'll be like they just woke up from a short nap. And here we will be in the anticipation, there they will be, the age behind them, the age behind them, the age behind them, and there we will all arise in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and every one of us just as fresh in the newness of life, amen, changing the image of the body like the Son of God, and what will we be? Ready to go meet him in the air. Oh, thank the Lord. Notice he said it'd be just as fresh if we'd fallen asleep and just woke up. The trumpet will sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. So will it be just as fresh. Oh my. This is why I want Jesus to be to me right now. Don't you? I don't want to be. You going to church? Well, I don't know. I got a little twitch in my back here. A little jerk. I feel it's going to be a bad one tonight. I better stay home and kick up on my recliner. Honey, would you bring me some of that Rocky Road ice cream and click over on Brother Donnie and we'll just stay home and stream tonight. You get you a big honey bun and get you a glass of tea and I'll sit back here. That little twitch, oh, I know it's going to get bad. I just feel it coming off. And you think you're ready for the coming of the Lord? I'll tell you one thing, friend. It ought to take something powerful to keep you out of them doors. It ought to take something powerful to keep you away from the house of God. Woo! Oh, glory. Now, the scripture itself sets it forth as we've looked at some scriptures already. From the New Testament, the way that Paul and Peter and James and John and many of the apostles was able to write and preach, and we could take Irenaeus, of course, and Luther and on down, on down, on down. But let's come up to this age that we live. And let's come under the auspices of the ministry of Malachi 4. And let's see how did Brother Branham look for the coming of the Lord Jesus? Was it an anticipation? Was it something that he wanted to just tell the people, don't worry about it, don't get excited about it, you know, just do whatever you want to do? How did Brother Branham actually project it to us as message people? Then truly, if we really believe this message and we want to follow this message, then we should have an idea of what to look for. I don't only want the doctrines of this message, but I want the same spirit the messenger had. Because you see, you can have his doctrines, but if you ain't got the same Holy Ghost, you won't go nowhere, nowhere. Satan don't care how right you are in your doctrine. If you miss that life, you won't come up anyhow. Is that what he said? That's right. Now, watch this. In Time-Tested Faith 1958, no bombs can strike until Jesus takes his church. Well, glory. Oh my, President Reagan wanted to put Star Wars up there in the sky, you know, and Bush wanted to do this. I'm not sure what President Obama wants to do for national security, the CIA and all them. Hey, I've got a promise hanging over me. Russia can't bomb us till I'm gone. Russia or whoever more, Iran or Iraq or whoever, they ain't one thing they can do. And it's not by Star Wars, it's not by missiles, it's not by scuds and thuds and all the rest of the duds they got. I'll tell you what it is, it's eagle's wings. Hallelujah. Because a promise is made that there will be no bombs fall on this nation until the bride's been taken out of here. You believe it? Notice this, no bombs can strike until Jesus takes his church. Now you imagine when Brother Branham was preaching in this now in the 50s, Russia's, you know, flexing her muscles and preachers are preaching in against communism. And man, they're saying, boy, Russia's going to do this. And Brother Branham said, don't pay no attention to them. All them isms are wound up in one, and communism ain't nothing but a tool in the hands of God. Can you imagine them preachers said, what? A tool in the hands of God? He's a false prophet. Did you notice Brother Branham never did use the word USSR? But he used the word Russia over and over and over again? Where is the USSR today? History! Where is Russia? Where she's supposed to be? Glory. Now notice, no bombs can strike until Jesus takes his church. He's gone. It might be. Lord have mercy. Now wait a minute, this is 2 years after the tent mission. So now if he believed that the tent vision was a natural tent that had to be fulfilled before the coming of the Lord, we're dealing with a false prophet here. Because Jesus can't come in any minute if there's got to be a tent set up. Come on now, don't get quiet on me. It might be at any minute. Again, 1959. But come tonight with open hearts to receive him, knowing that we're living in the closing days of the world's history. Knowing that at any minute, Jesus could come. Now friends, most of you, I hope, are not looking for a tent. You're not looking for a brown bear hat. You're not looking for an airplane, all that sort of thing. I hope that you're old enough and mature enough to be beyond those things. But do you believe that he can come at any minute? Now you don't believe it at 10. That hasn't got you sidetracked. You're not waiting for Brother Ram to come back and go back on a brown bear hunting this and another. But what's got you sidetracked? To where you're not living, believing, professing, and acting that he can live at any minute. You tell me, how can you hold a grudge in your heart against anybody for 24 hours and believe Jesus could come in any minute? Oh, come on now, preach with me. How can you hold a grudge against anybody for 1 hour long thinking that Jesus could come in any minute? If you really believe that, you'll act like that. You'll forgive men their trespasses. You won't 24 hours later, right then, as soon as they do it against you. I'm convinced many of us think we're looking for him, but we're not. Not every minute. Not every minute. Notice. Knowing that at any minute, Jesus could come. Well, the church has come to justification. This is 1961. Sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, gifts manifested to it. And now what? The Spirit of God moving in the church, doing the same works that Jesus did. Glory. And he left us a promise. And what's the next thing? Okay, friends, I didn't graduate from kindergarten. I didn't graduate from 8th grade. I didn't graduate from high school. But I did learn enough in school to know next means next. I'm an island rocket scientist, okay? Listen, he says, what's the next thing? You tell me what he said. The two words. The change. 1961. So the next thing is the change. Do you realize how much closer we are now than it was when he said that all those years ago? Oh my, what's the next thing? The chains. The next thing that happened to Abraham was a changed body. He had to have it or he had never got the son. And the next thing that happens to the church is the rapture. Now here it is 5 years after the 10th vision. This is the year that he has the brown bear vision. How many of you say, what was it talking about the brown bear vision? It's a vision where Brother Branham saw, seeing himself shooting a brown bear, supposed to have been in a certain spot. He wasn't at that spot. Brother Biscoe went to that spot and Brother Branham missed his place. And he said, Lord, you put the bear at the right place, but I was at the wrong place because I listened to others and it passed right before me. What's killing a brown bear got to do with the resurrection? I thought it was life in the resurrection. Don't you understand, friend, what it's doing? It's to rock message folks to sleep so they're not ready every minute. They're not ready every hour. They're not prayed at. They hold grudges. They got a hard feeling. And they just live their own life. Oh, but the bride in the middle of all that, there's something down inside of her, hallelujah, that tells her, don't you hold no grudge. You get rid of that. You straighten that up. Don't wait till Sunday. Don't wait till Wednesday night. Do it right now. The next thing happens to the church is the rapture. We can't meet him on earth. We got to meet him in the air. Now notice this. Any message person can meet Jesus on the earth without a changed body. But only the elect can meet him in the air. Now how you figure you're going to get in the air? Helicopters ain't allowed. Airplanes ain't allowed. Spaceships ain't allowed. You're not going to be able to run and top and jump off the top of our own mountain over there and say, here I am, Jesus. We've got to meet him in the air. How are we going to do it? We've got to be changed. This is too big for me. This is why I do not even worry about producing rapturing faith. Because I know I can't do it in the first place. I don't sit up late at night and worry when I preach this. I do not sit and worry, oh God, oh God, oh God. Because I know I cannot produce it no more than I can produce Christ out of me myself. I come to that realization many years ago. I cannot produce what this word demands. So the best thing for me to do is just get out of the way and let him step in and live his own life. And when I need rationing faith, when I need rationing grace, I must depend on him because I have no idea what it is. I don't know how to produce it. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to go about changing my body. So I'm going to let go and let God. I'm just going to let go. I'm going to enjoy going this way. I'm going to live the right kind of life and just watch God one day change me back to a young man. Praise the Lord. There ain't no need losing sleep over it. There ain't no need worrying and fretting. Oh, I've got to figure it out. I've got to figure it out. You'll never figure it out. It's beyond human understanding. So we got to meet him in the air. It's the coming son. The promised son. We've looked for him now for hundreds of years. He will come someday. But the next thing for the church is to be changed. We've had every sign. Really? Every sign? I mean like every sign? Does every sign mean every sign or does it not mean every sign? Oh, every sign means every sign. You sure of that? All right. Every sign means every sign. Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, placing of the Son, manifestation of the Spirit. Now what? The changing of the body for the rapture. Again, Abraham and his seed. Oh my, how the church ought to be waving its hands in glory. Thanking God, any minute the change could come. Lord, children, do you believe this? Do you believe it could be this imminent? Do you believe it could be that cold? But Brother Donnie, but wait a minute, it didn't happen then. Some people weren't ready. That's right. And you know what? There's some may not be ready tonight, but what if they all come in by the end of this service? And then we have to wait on you and you and you and you. This is why the one, don't you see that the bride living under that anticipation and that urgency of the hour when that last one comes in and comes up to that spot they need to, the whole thing will be ready for the change. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. He said, Abraham had lived with Sarah since she was a young girl. And she wasn't fertile then. Right. Now she's went through the change. Right. And she's certainly not fertile. So she's got to go through another change to take her back the way she was before plus in order to receive the promised son. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. The bride, you know, I think some of them has been in menopause or grouches. I don't know what. And they're fluctuating their moods and they're up and down. I think a lot of the message people, that's where they are. You know, got PMS, DMS, GMS, whatever MSs you can add on to it. I mean, Lord, have mercy. Don't sit there and look at me like you know what I'm talking about. But hold on, Sarah! You're fixing to get a change back! Oh, glory! And you're not just gonna turn back to an 18-year-old Tim or an 18-year-old Donnie. You're gonna go back plus! You're gonna go back plus! I don't need just to go back to be a young man. I've got to be changed back to a young man to be able to meet him in the air. I couldn't meet Jesus as an 18-year-old boy. What good would it do just to revert me back to 18 years old? I don't need just to be 18 years old. I need a change plus. Praise the Lord. Brother Ben said how the church ought to be waving its hands in glory. Thanking God, at any minute the change could come. For the Bible said it'll be universal. Jesus said to me, two in the meal grind, and I'll take one and leave one. Two in the field, I'll take one and leave one. Two in the bed, show to be on both sides of the earth. Now how's the change going to be one in dark and one in light if it's going to be over a period of months? Jesus didn't say, now on this side it'll be in January, and on that side of the earth it'll be in February. Down in Africa it'll be in March, and in the United States, and so they're all lazy and laid back. It'll probably be around December or January of the next year, but I'll finally get all them ready too. It's not going to happen like that. On the dark side of the earth it'll happen. On the light side of the earth it will be happening at the same time. Oh, my friend, do you understand? It will be synchronized at exact the same time. Oh, Lord. The rapture will be universal and their bodies will be changed. Our bodies will have to be changed. We just can't turn back to young men and women. We've got to have a different kind of a body so you can be caught up in the air to receive the promised son. That's what the church is waiting for now. The true church. So where does that put folks that are waiting for Brother Branham? Does that put them really much different than waiting those that are waiting for Muhammad? The Muslims are waiting for Muhammad to come and conquer the world. Many of the message folks are waiting for Brother Branham to come back and conquer the world. As I mentioned to you before, many of them believe that Brother Branham will stand on the west coast and cast Los Angeles into the ocean. Actually, that they preach it will actually be Brother Branham's voice that will cause the resurrection. You ought to thank God for a good church to go to where they don't preach garbage and junk. Notice this. Be not afraid. 1962. We should be in such a grand unity for the coming of the Lord, which I believe is near at hand now. I believe we're living in the very shadows of it. And if he doesn't come today, I'll be looking for him. But is this the spirit that's on the message, people? Or do we look at him, look for him just when we're here to preach? You know, however often that is. Once a month, once every 3 months, once every 4 months. Now he said, if he doesn't come this year, I'll be looking for him next year. I want to be looking every minute. Every minute for him coming. Carrying on, just doing what I can. Now you ain't just sitting around. What are you doing, Brother Ram? I'm looking for him. You want a sandwich? I'm looking for it. Want a cold drink? I'm looking for it. That'd be a net. Notice what he said. I'll carry on. Brother Dow, keep on painting. Your sisters, keep on making them apple pies. Your brothers, keep on doing your job and do it like a child of God. Keep right on doing. But looking where? Inside your heart. Oh my. I want to be looking every minute for him coming, carrying on doing what I can, but still believing that he's coming anytime, being prepared for it. And I think the preparation of the church should stand in that status at all times. That we should certainly be watching for the coming of the Lord. Now once the seals come open and Christ himself comes down, many of course preached that the coming of Christ in 1963 was the literal second coming. That there was a resurrection, but it was spiritual. Of course they quit having communion and many things like that because he's already here, he's already come, so you don't do those things anymore. But after the man who preached the seals, what was his expectation after the seals was opened? Notice he said in the world falling apart, which is 4:12, after the seals, of course, being in March, our nation is rotten to the roots. Buddy, I'll tell you one thing. If it was rotten to the roots in 4:12:63, I can't imagine what is now. I'm sure you probably heard today our president said he thought that gay couples should have the right to get married. Yeah. Well, a lot of the Republicans, a lot of the Democrats, why? They're going to go whichever way keeps them in office the longest. So they can get this big salary that me and you's paying for. Come on now. It don't make no difference. Whatever they got to do, they're wishy-washy, whatever more. Thank God one of these days politics will be blowed plumb off of this earth. There'll be no politics in the millennium. There'll be no politics in the new earth. Hallelujah. Amen. And the real people of God stand for principle right now. Come on, church. We're not waiting for the millennium. We want to stand for what's true, what's right, what's holy. If Brother Branham was grieved by the conditions of the earth in 1963, I cannot imagine his poor heart being able to take it in this day. Our nation is rotten to the roots. That's right. There's no hope for it. It's all gone. There's only one thing to look for. Read it. Read it to me. Read it to me. Tell me what I'm to look for. A brown bear, a tent, a what? What am I to tell me? Y'all been wanting to tell me what to do for a long time, so tell me. Because the problem is I'm telling you what to tell me, so it's not really fair, is it? So here Christ has come down, right? The mighty angel of Revelation 10 has come down. And Brother Branham is still pointing them to a coming. Praise the Lord. Notice again now, same message, paragraph 246. Solemnly I ask you this question. Some of you may not even return tonight. This may be the last time of ever seeing you on earth. Jesus may come before night. So this is his anticipation. And this is the man who had these visions of the tent, the brown bear, this, that, or the other. Well, I guess I don't understand. Well, yeah, I guess I do. I guess I just don't understand why people don't understand. I mean, okay, if this is his anticipation and this is what he's expecting, and I'm expecting something different, then I need to change my expectation if I'm understanding expectation right. Right? So, what am I going to take? My opinion or what Brother So-and-so said? Am I going back to what the prophet himself taught and look for? Right. There's only one thing to look for. Then he says, Jesus may come before night. There may be a destruction before night. It could happen, you know, at that secret coming of the church. Oh, wait a minute. I thought it was the Lord. Same thing. Him in bride form. You say, how in the world is that going? Paul said he's going to bring her with him when he comes. Notice again, look in Phoenix. As a group of believers today assemble together, we want to fix our thoughts, our principles, our things upon the coming of the Lord. Our principles? Our principles? Our things, our thoughts. Is this required to go in the rapture? Oh my goodness. Looking for Christ, who shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. To those that believe and are looking for Him to come. God, here's the writer, by inviting us to view and look into this, the writer says here, we look for Christ the second time to see Him as He is. Again, the same message. Look. At the church today, it's in chaos, all mixed up in everything. It's looking, and we got more in there. We got better than they have. We're this and that and the other. And there that bride is looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus. What's that secret? Secret coming of Christ shall come and catch away His bride in the night. Like a book I read of Romeo and Juliet. Now He come with a ladder and got His bride out among them. That's what Jesus will come someday, and looking for that one that is not looking to his creeds, but looking to Christ. Friends, do you understand what a creed is? Can anybody give me the true definition of the word creed tonight? A creed is a statement of faith that is not necessarily based on Scripture. And we think the message folks are free from them. They're full of them. Much of what you hear men or the preachers preaching against has developed into message creeds. When Brother Branham was here, he had to preach against Pentecostal creeds and Baptist creeds. But now, you know, we've moved beyond that. And now what are we preaching against? Message creeds. Well, I believe this, and you can show them what he said, and they still believe it. That's a creed. That's a creed. Now you see, it starts out with us saying, well, you know, Brother Branham was a prophet, so we don't need Scripture for this, and we don't need Scripture for that, because Brother Branham was a prophet, and you know, the word comes to the prophet, so we don't need Scripture, and we leave Scripture, and leave Scripture, and leave Scripture. And then we come to a spot, well, we don't really actually even need a quote, because it's revelation. So if it's revelation, then you ain't got nothing to back it up, no way to prove if it's right or if it's wrong, and you got one, and you got another, and yours is different from that one, and that one, and that one, and that one. And the more revelations that we get, the more confused we get, because we don't know which revelation is the right revelation. It's all revelation. I think a lot of them are revolutions. Right. Now notice, but how is Satan going to be able to pollute the minds of the people and get them avert on something opposite of the word? A creed. Which takes what? A portion of truth. And mixes just a little bit of opinion or doctrine of men, and you automatically have a creed. So people believe in return ministry, it's a creed. Those who are looking for the airplane to come back, it's a creed. For Brother Joseph Branham to be a prophet without being vindicated by God is a creed. Well, I say I'm going to have to preach an amen myself too. Notice this. Oh my. That's what Jesus will come someday, looking for that one that is not looking to his creeds, but looking to Christ, waiting for him to come. That's the only ones Jesus will come to. Oh my, with his heart centered. Isn't it amazing that Brother M says in Christ the Mystery of God Revealed that Jesus gets his right place back in the church in the last days? So Jesus gets his right place back in the church with the preeminence. And God sends a prophet with a message to help return that and to smack God in the face, as it were. Satan turns right back around and takes Jesus out of that preeminent place and puts Brother Branham there. He might do that to message followers, but he won't do it to the bride. Oh no. There's a great difference. Right. Notice this. Hebrews 9:28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time. So then what if a person is called a Christian, but they are not looking for Jesus? It would be contrary to his own scripture to appear to them. He is bound by the scripture to only appear to those who are looking. He cannot appear to anyone. Lord, children, do you hear me? He cannot, by the bond of his
his own promise. He cannot appear to one person who is not looking for him. Then I ask you, is it important to look for him every day? Every hour of the day?
Oh my.
Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Notice this again in 1963 in July. He says, God has got a way of doing things and we must do it in the way that he wants it done. If it isn't, then it's not effective. Jesus found something like that when he came in his day and he said, you by your traditions has made the word of God of none effect. Now do you realize, friends, by message, traditions, and creeds, it's made many of the scriptures that we've looked at in the last couple of Wednesday nights of no effect whatsoever to many message folks. Well, glory. Oh my. By your traditions, you made the word of God of none effect. By your traditions, say they have read it. Injected into God's commandments their own tradition, which made the commandments of no effect. You talking about the powerful word, but all it takes is just a little bit of injection into that powerful word, and it totally paralyzes that promise. So that that promise has no effect. Now it doesn't render it without effect before God, but it renders it without effect before the individuals who now accept the hybridized injection. So, well, you know, we don't really need the new birth. My goodness, we just accept the message. You can't believe the message without really being born again. That's a bunch of pack of lies. There's folks all around this world that intellectually believe this message ain't been more born again than that pulpit's born again. You got to be born again. You got to become a new creature. Get the Holy Ghost the same old-fashioned way that Peter got it. God ain't got one Holy Ghost for Peter and another one for Paul and a watered-down version for this day. We got to get the same kind, the same way, with the same experience, the same manifestation that they had. Oh, praise the Lord. My, today I know it's become the same thing. There's not a thing left, my Christian friend. Not a thing left. But the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the only hope that the church has. Do you realize? For many folks in this message, that hope has become contaminated. So as a Christian, you only have one hope anyway. Only one hope. Only got one left. That's the coming of the Lord. So then he tries to contaminate that hope. Oh, I've heard that all my life. Well, you know, my goodness, preachers have preached that ever since I was that big. And you know what he's trying to do to you? He's trying to contaminate your hope and get you drunk on the cares of this life. So he said, well, I'm going to church. I'll probably live to be an old man. And, you know, my grandkids will probably, who knows? I mean, the Lord might not come for another 500 years or 1,000 years. That's right. He may not. But you want to be alive and fresh if you go tonight. If you die in that complacent attitude. Now, let's say if you've got this attitude tonight. Brother Donnie, come on. You've been preaching and hollering and spitting and carrying on that same stuff for over 20 years. And he ain't come. It might be 1,000 years before he comes. And then you walk out that door and get killed in a car wreck. Let me tell you one thing. I wouldn't give you a penny for your chances to be in the rapture. Because with that attitude, how can God raise that attitude in you and raise that attitude in Peter of, yes, Lord, it's coming, I know it's coming, and Irenaeus and Paul, and then leave that sarcastic attitude in you, I don't care, I don't believe it. Do you understand, friend? This is why we must live in this frame of mind every day of our lives.
Oh, my. Notice this, and how can I overcome now at the coming of the Lord Jesus? Those who are really loving His coming.
That's living for it.
Now don't raise your hand, but just ask yourself, are you living for His coming? Or are you living for you, or for your children, or for your grandchildren? What are you living for?
The ones that's going to go with him in the rapture are the ones who are loving his coming, but also living for it. Oh, sure, they do things with their kids and they do things with their grandkids and they, you know, they take vacations and they holidays and all that sort of thing. You know, they shop and go to Walmart and they go to the mall. They do all them kinds of things, but they're not drunk. They're not drunk on any of those things. Can they enjoy going down and sitting on a creek bank and sitting a half day and fishing? Sure they can. Can they enjoy climbing up in a tree stand and sitting and hunting for a deer or hunting for a squirrel or whatever more? They sure can. But anything and everything they do, oh my, the greatest thing in their mind and on their heart is the coming of the Lord Jesus. They may dig a hole in the ground and set out a rose bush and set out a chrysanthemum over there and a dahlia over there. But brother, when you really dig them down and get down past all their hobbies and all their favorite pastimes, the coming of the Lord is the greatest thing to that child of God. Oh my. At the coming of the Lord Jesus, those who are loving his coming, that's living for it. When he appears in the sky, the church that's dead in Christ shall rise. And those that will be changed in a moment, the rest of them will know nothing about it. Remember, appeared to those in the city. The rapture will be like that. We'll see each other and we'll see them. The rest of the world won't see them. It'll be called away as a secret going. Please explain to me, how are you going to have a gigantic tent set up with thousands of people coming through the little building getting their body changed and nobody seeing it? We got a reporter standing over there taking, you know, you walk in there, an old man, oh, you walk in there, an old woman, you come out on the other side, a new man, and that reporter's saying, oh my goodness, what happened to you, sir? Think, friends, it is a secret. Only those that are in on the secret. Brother Donnie, do you know the secret? I do. And you've been hearing it for the last 45 minutes. It's those who's living for his coming. And you actually can't live for it without a new birth. You can believe in it without a new birth. You can expect it without a new birth. But you can't really love it and live for it without a new birth. Notice this, the rest of the world won't see them. It'll be called away as the secret going. Waiting for that time. Then returning back to earth for that glorious millennium, then 1,000 years, and the rest of the dead living off for 1,000 years. Notice this same thought now. Brother Branham's still looking for the coming of Jesus. In New York, in November 1963. That sign of his coming proves he's done the discernment now, the sign of the Son of Man. That sign of his coming proves that the coming is hand to hand right now. It could happen at any time. I don't see nothing to hinder the rapture of the church right now. But if I say that, I'm called an unbeliever. Because I ain't got a ticket for the airplane. And I don't preach it and I ain't looking for it because I'm not on an airplane day. I don't even like riding them jets, much less that old DC-6 or whatever that thing is. The old prop plane, my Lord. What's a theophany need to ride an old prop plane for? Huh? You only knew the truth behind a bunch of this trash and nonsense. You understand, they had to steal the books for that plane. Every plane comes with books. They had to hire thieves, professional thieves, to steal them out of a car sitting in an airport. And people around the message hanging their hope on that. Well, I don't mind telling you, my hope ain't hanging on no such stuff. My hope is hanging on Jesus. Glory, my hope ain't hanging on Donnie Reagan. My hope, I love you folks, but my hope ain't hanging on you. I guarantee you that. My hope ain't hanging on no man. My hope is on the Lord Jesus Christ and his coming. My. Notice this. Oh, Lord. He said, you see where we're at? I believe we're at the coming of the Son of God right now. I believe we're at the age of the very hour that he might appear at any time. Y'all think I'm nuts anyhow. But let me tell you something. I've seen angels, and I've seen lights, and I've seen beings, and I've seen supernatural things around me. And nearly every day of my life, I look, because I've seen them in my house. I've seen them when I go to places, just flash the light like that, and you look, and it's gone. I'm looking for him every day. Because I know. You say, oh, that's spooky. No, it ain't spooky. We're supposed to look for him every hour. I want to look for him every day. And before I see him, I want to see some saints. Glory. Well, some of y'all looking at me now, you're really going to pray for me now. Notice he said, broken cisterns. Some people might be under the impression that I think Jesus is going to come in the morning or tonight. Now, this is the spirit the messenger had. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you have the same spirit? Well, glory. Hello. Why are we whispering? You mean Brother Branham believed that Jesus, if he didn't come that morning, he believed he could come that afternoon. And if he didn't come that afternoon, he could come that night. And if he didn't come that night, he could be there the next morning. And the next noon. And the next night. And on. And on. And on. And on. It's a good thing he lived that way. So when that drunk comes barreling down the road on the Amarillo Highway, Brother Branham comes ready. Poor body mangled and broken to pieces. Going to an unconscious state. He didn't have time to make things right. Fix this. Apologize for that. That ticker inside your body. It might pump its last five here in about 5 minutes. And you could be gone. We don't want to put off nothing for you. You understand? We live this way as if though any time it could happen. This is the real bride. Oh. Lord Jesus. Now, I don't say that he will. And again, he may come for next week, and it may be next year, maybe 10 years. I don't know when he's coming. But there's one thing I want you to always, you bear in mind. You be ready every minute or hour. That if he doesn't come today, he might be here tomorrow. So just keep that in your mind. Now, notice he didn't say God would do it. The Holy Ghost won't do it. That's something Donnie's got to do. I don't know when the time is going to be my last hour on the earth. And he does any of us. And there's none of us know when he's coming. He doesn't even know himself by his own words. He said the Father only knows when he'll come. Not even the Son knows when he'll come. It's when God sends him to us again. Oh my. But we're looking for his coming. And if he doesn't come in my generation, he might come in the next. If he doesn't come in that one, he'll come in the next. But for myself, I can't hardly see any time left. To me, it could happen at any minute. Now that doesn't mean now that heavens will change. That's not the coming I'm speaking of. I'm talking of the rapture. Let's close. Let's stand together. Now, let me take my title and put it in the form of a question. Are you, every minute, every hour, every day, watching for his coming? Are you living as if though it could be this very night, or in the morning, or tomorrow night? Do you live under that anticipation? You see, if you are, and if you do, then when death strikes you, you will be included in the resurrection. Because you went down with the same anticipation as did the predecessors before you. You understand? Friends, we've tried to make the rapturing faith, and we've tried to make this and that and the other. All kinds of, it's the seven thunders, and it's this doctrine, and it's that. Can't you see why Satan's done that? To get us off of the real mark. of what it's all about. We're looking, Brother Jerry, for Jesus. Living with that anticipation. And knowing that if you have that in your heart, you'll live right every day. Sunday religion will be a thing of the past.
Well, today's Sunday. I better go to church. Whether I need to or not, I probably ought to go.
I better be a good boy today. Ain't no good boys in heaven. Just saved boys. I better try to straighten up this Easter. Man alive, here it is, communion weekend. I better try to get right.
You better stay right.
You see, only those who have this will be included. And it'll cross every doctrinal line.
People that we've put in and out. You believe this? What do you believe about that? You believe about, we try to put them in the doctrine. That wasn't the way Brother Bram crossed them.
It was under anticipation and expectation and life and living. Because no mortal can't do this. You see, this is opposite to humans. Humans can't do this. We cannot. It becomes bothersome and burdensome and a bore to live in the, under this expectation. We cannot. Our human body cannot do this.
But the soul can. Spiritual principles of God become boring to the flesh. Now, many of you learned to tie your shoes a certain way when you was a child. You've tied them that way for 80 years. And you'll probably tie them that way till the last time you untie them. Things like that don't bother us. But it's amazing when it comes to spiritual principles. That we need to do certain things. We'll do it and then we'll quit. And then we'll do it and then we'll quit. But we are such a creature of habit in the flesh. But when it comes to keeping the word, and that's why we have to be reminded over and over again about certain things. Spiritual things, always. But this part, it's not just even a reminder from the preacher. It's a birthed nature. Why? Because this is the anticipation of the resurrection. And it comes from the resurrector. Donnie might forget. Jimmy might forget. But deep in the soul. Lord Jesus. Lord, it's today the day. You might get busy. And oh, I haven't thought about the coming of the Lord. Oh my, you know, I didn't think about. You're talking about this. You're talking about this. But you see that on the inside. It looks. It expects. It can't wait. It's loving. And it's living for His coming. When He comes this time, hardly none but those who are ready will know when He comes. There'll just be an absence of people. They won't know what happened to them. They'll just be called away in a moment. They just come up missing. Changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. So just be ready for that. It'd be horrible some morning to miss a loved one. And no one can find them. Wouldn't it be too bad to know it's done past and you missed it? So just keep before God. Lord, children, may God help us. Brother Donnie, have you always done that? Goodness, no. I'm no different than you. I'm a sorry, stinking, low-down human being just like you are. This flesh of mine ain't a bit more better than the sorriest drunk on the street. The sorriest prostitute. Your flesh I'm talking about. The only good thing about any of us is what God's mercy has done. And cause this ain't converted, this is constantly your enemy. And it gets slothful, it gets lazy. And it has to be reminded. To do this and to do that and to do the other. But that inward man. Oh, he loves the word. He loves principles of God. He loves the character of God. He loves to do what God wants him to do. He's the man that'll be ready. Let's bow our heads together if you would. Lord Jesus, I pray tonight, Father, that you'd forgive us. Begin with me, Lord, I pray. I've not always lived under this anticipation, expecting you every day, every hour. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, I pray. We've looked for great deep things and mysteries, and I wonder if it's not been laying right in front of us the whole time. Lord Jesus, help our hearts, Father God. And we know it cannot be done by legalism. We cannot make ourselves do this. Lord, we ask you, may that great anticipation from the throne of God, for truly it permeates from your own being as you anticipate the resurrection. Not for yourself, but for your body. Help each of us, Lord. Many people who hear these services out on the internet, there's some, it's critics, and they listen just to see what I'm hearing, or preaching rather. And no doubt there's some that believe these doctrines that'll hear it, and they'll pass it one to another. I pray you'd surprise them. When they're listening to criticize, may the Holy Ghost open their eyes and help them to see the truth. Lord, most of us here don't even believe many of those things anyway. But then we ask ourselves, well, why don't I believe it every moment then? So we're in somewhat a different category. It says, you said in Luke 21, be not drunken with the things of the world, or surfeiting, or with the cares of this life. So again, it would numb the anticipation of your coming. Help us to learn the great delicate balance of dealing in life and working jobs and shopping and having hobbies and fellowshipping with saints and doing this and that and the other. Help us to find the delicate balance of all that and expecting you to come at any moment. It's difficult, Lord. And we can see why that you did not give us more clear instructions per individual, really, from the scripture or from the message. Every individual's makeup would be so different. Their time schedule, the amount of children they would have, the type of children they would have that would require more time and more work, and all the situations that would be there, it would be impossible, really, to deal with every individual one. But this is another reason you left your presence. So you could lead each of us. May every preacher, every deacon, every trustee, every housewife, every dad, every teenager, every one of us find that place in our lives. Some of them going to college, some of them trying to broaden their education so that their ability might be better and doing this and that and the other. And most generally, it's always the spiritual part that suffers. We cut back here and there and there. Help us, Lord, to find that balance. I know that you're a God that sees the age we're living. And Satan, the God of this age, the God of education that he's made it, requires more and more and more and more education than ever before to be able to have a job. And it's him. It's nothing but him trying to occupy more time. And men can't be a real dad. They think they're being a dad by buying their kids high-dollar tennis shoes and high-dollar games, when the truth of it is, them kids would love to have more time with dad than they would just more things. But in time, those kids' appetite will change. When they've been away from dad for so long that it won't matter whether they're with dad or not. Then they'll want dad's gifts instead of dad's person. And Lord, it's an age that we're living. It's so sad when kids would rather have things than they would have people. Lord, help us, I pray. What are we teaching them? What are we teaching them, Lord, about the principles and the values of Christianity, of life, of a family? Is a family, is it just about all of us going to Walmart, all of us going here, going there? Can we even communicate anymore? Can we even sit down as a family without this one getting a text and this one getting a phone call and this one getting this and that and the other, and their iPad and their iPod and their this, that and the other? Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Teach us, Lord Jesus. Paul never faced what we're faced with. Brother Branham never faced what we're faced with. We need you, Lord Jesus, to teach us. Every individual, we need you, Lord. Teach us the balance in our life, Lord God. Every Christian here tonight, if they'll be honest, they'll have to say the greatest desire of their life is to please you. May we have that, Lord God, I pray. In Jesus' name. Would you lay your hand on the person standing up by you? And let's offer a word of prayer. I want you to just pray for them. that God will help them to find that in their life. That balance between things, natural things, spiritual things. That channel where they can please the Lord. That place to where jobs and money and education and fellowship and all of that, that it all gets in its proper order and balance. Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's just pray for one another now. Heavenly Father, these believers have their hands one upon the other. What a victory this would be in each of our lives tonight, Lord. For housewives, Lord, these mothers, I see them come here and they take their babies in and out and in and out. If the baby makes a noise or quiet, trying to keep it quiet around the other people not to hinder them. I hear from them, Lord, they say, why do I even come to church? I hardly get anything out of church. It's so tough for them, Lord, those first 4 or 5 years, whatever it is. Lord, help them to find that time. And then, Lord, trying to raise them little ones, and it seems like they have no time on their own. And then if they do get private time, they want to do a little something. They want to read a book or do this or do that. And Lord, help them to find that balance. It would be different from them than it would be their husbands. It'd be different for them than it would be the sisters here in the church that are past childbearing and they don't have children at home or grandchildren. Maybe they've got a lot of time on their hands. So each one of us, Lord, help us to find that place in our life to where you're pleased with us. And Lord, what might work for me might not work for these people. And what would work for one housewife might not work for another. So what we want is what you're pleased with us as an individual, Lord Jesus. That we can find that balance to where that we're not drunk on the cares of this life. Lord, that we work, we provide, and we do the things that are necessary. And we even enjoy certain things, Lord, that are not even related to work. But in all of that, we have that balance of you in our life. And everything that we say and do, way back in the back part of our mind. This coming of the Lord, the rapture, the advent of our Master. Hallelujah. It takes precedent in our life. Help each of them, Lord, to find that place. Each man, woman, boy, and girl. Would you grant it, Lord? Grant it, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Many needs in his body tonight. I want you to just point your hand this way if you would. Heavenly Father, you know the needs in my brother's body tonight, Lord. Lord, and he, most of all, he wants to please you, Lord Jesus. I pray, dear God, that you'd help him. Heavenly Father, I ask you tonight, in the name of Jesus, that you'd move for him. Lord, you see this with his nerves and his bladder and these other things in his body. Lord God, you didn't promise that the devil wouldn't hit us. But Lord, you said this in your word, many of the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. So Lord, we call upon your name tonight and ask you to move for our brother and help. Lord, you see these other needs and requests that he's placed before you. We want to join our faith together with him tonight in the promise of your word, Lord, and say, my God will supply all of your need according to his riches and glory. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then ask what you will. Heavenly Father, may you strengthen him tonight, Lord God, I pray. Go with him, Lord. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. It's Jesus I really want to see. Amen. Let's sing this together before we go. It's Jesus I really want to see. It's Jesus I really want to see. The more I see of this world,
Jesus, I really want to see. Jesus is holding me. know what Satan laid before me? Every temptation and his desire to steal away this hope that I have inside. And I have found, if I wait just a little longer, you'll give me the strength I need to keep me in his grace. Something keeps holding me.
Thank
He's
you,
holding
Lord
me.
Jesus.
Holding me.
Glory to
helping
God.
Me.
Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let me read you this. Brother Ram says that God's provided place in this great hour that we're living under this great expectation of the appearing of our lover, the Lord Jesus, at any time. Oh, hallelujah. Don't you see? That's the relationship he wants to have with you. Not a judge. Not vindictive. Not beating you and whipping you. He's not a wife beater. But he loves you. That's the way he wants it to be. Hallelujah. He wants you waiting as anticipation as a bride is waiting to soar away to the honeymoon. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you, Brother Joel. Sing it. God bless you, saints. Love you in the Lord. Come together this weekend again, Lord willing, in the presence of God. Expect him to speak to us again. You appreciate his word tonight?
Yes.
How many wants to look for his coming with a greater anticipation than before? God bless you. Sing it for us, Brother Joel.
Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, Lord, I want to be in that number. When they gather round the throne and those gates are closed, you know what I'm gonna be doing? I'll be shouting, shouting glory, hallelujah, when the saints go marching in. Oh, I used to have some playmates. This old boy's been converted. You know what they did? You know they turned their backs on me. Now when the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in, I'll be shouting, singing, glory, glory, glory. I'll be shouting out. they crowned in Lord of Lords, and those gates are closed within. Goodbye, world. No more I'll be singing when the saints go marching in. Just something about that name.
See, Gloria Gaither wrote this, but I don't think she really understands the meaning of it. He's my master. He's my savior. Oh, listen to that name.
Jesus, like the fragrance. Oh, after the rain,
after the word has gone forth, you see the rain.
Oh, Jesus.
Sing it with me. Say that name.
Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus. Let all.
One day, everything.
And earth proclaim. Kingdoms all pass away, but there's something about.
Now you know how we are as humans. We like to hear our name called. It does something to us to hear our name. But think about him.
Jesus.
Sing it to him.
Jesus.
Forget about who's around you. Where are you going to go? I know it's Wednesday, but how?
Hallelujah. There's, ooh, there's just something about, ooh, that name. You're my master. You're my savior. Oh, Jesus. Like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus.
Boo, devil.
Jesus. Let all heaven, oh, and earth proclaim. King and kingdom, they're gonna all.
What are you hung up on tonight? It's all gonna fade away anyway.
Something about that name.
Sing it again, Jesus.
Jesus.
Some of y'all don't believe this.
Jesus.
This is what you're going to hear anyway and through all eternity. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah.
There's just something about. It's just something about your name. You're mine. You turn around and then you became mine.
You're just simply mine. You're my Savior. I like the fragrance after a good old Holy Ghost filled sermon. Word begins to fall like rain. Jesus, Jesus is just. Hallelujah. Bow. They're gonna all bye-bye, fade away. But there's something about that name. Goodbye, world, I'll stay no longer with you. Goodbye, pleasures of sin. I'll stay no longer with you. I made up my mind to serve the Lord for the rest of my life. I made up my mind to go God's way for the rest of my life. Now goodbye, world. Goodbye, world. Passions of sin. I'll stay no longer with you. I made up my mind to go God's way for the rest of my life. I made up my mind to go God's way for the rest of my life. Now goodbye, world. And all sin, I'll say no longer with you. I made up my mind to go God's way for the rest of my life. I made up my mind to go God's way for the rest of my life. Now goodbye, world. I'll say no longer with you. Of sin. I'll stay no longer with you. I made up my mind to go God's way for the rest of my life. I made up my mind to go God's way for the rest of my life. The cross before me, the world behind me, the cross. Turn back. The cross your attention has the Spirit made a change within? Have you prayed for revelation? Have you sought the Lord this day for the voice to rapture you away? We'll sail beyond the heavens, be changed from dust to stars. We'll reach that true perfection, but wait, there's still more. These heights, they are the highest. These mysteries deep and big, no one could ever take my joy. Oh, the old devil tries sometimes. I have stepped into the vision. This way I'm certain of. His light will shine to illuminate the path and make the way clear. But those carnal ones only deify this one who was prophesied to turn back the heart to the original way. Oh, but I can only jump and shout. Soul is sure it can only be this great mystery.